Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to Louisville's Best Podcast, a podcast about everything, nothing, and all things in between. Ah, I am Tim, and I am joined by three of the greatest people as we embark on another podcast adventure. But hey, we're mixing it up tonight. Brian's not here. Aaron's not here. Charlie and John are. And we've got a special guest. Oh, hang on to your seats. Beautiful Brent has joined us. Ah, welcome to the show. John, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Are you?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being ecstatic, 1 being your dog just died. How are you?
Oh, well, it depends, because if the dog dying thing may make me ecstatic, especially after the 3.5 foot by 4.5 foot hole she's dug in the backyard in the last four days.
I forgot you hate your dog.
I don't really hate her. She just...
Hater in the house.
It's just when you look outside and the only thing you can see sticking up out of the ground is her rear end. And she's like, hey, look at what I did. Yeah, let's see what you did. I'd say I'm about a 6 tonight. Like I said, I'm off. I got a long weekend call because us teachers are off for Presidents Day. And you're off, too, for Presidents Day. So,
John, here's my question for you tonight.
Yeah.
Okay? Think of superheroes.
Oh, yes.
What superhero power, okay, would scare you the most if a dog had it?
Oh, golly. Invincibility.
Just an invincible dog.
An invincible dog.
Just an invincible little chihuahua.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, it wouldn't matter the size. If he's invincible, I mean, you know, just...
I mean, but what if he was a nice dog?
Well, I mean, I would like an invincible dog because they'd never die on you. If they still had a good personality as a dog.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
God rest his soul, I wish Boogie had been, invincible.
Well, if you had a dog like Abby, I mean, that's cool. Yeah. But, like, Margo... Gosh, could you imagine that dog is an invincible dog?
But
Tim, could you imagine Oscar as an invincible dog?
Oh, gosh, I hated it.
But if you had enough, you know, if the dog lived infinitely, she might learn how to behave.
That's true. She's a spaz, though. That dog is a spaz.
She's a Dalmatian, Australian Shepherd, Chupacabra mix. I mean,
Now, in our defense, we did take her to training. She has been through training. I'm not saying she failed. I think she flunked out.
Was it like that? Was it like Kung Pao where they purposely trained her wrong?
No. This lady was like from
Wimplo or whatever.
She was like Eastern European or something. So it was like big dog up, put under her arm. It was like she weighs 80 pounds, almost 80 pounds. I ain't gonna pick that dog up. Right?
So it was your fault.
Well, then it was like walk with the dog on the leash. And she's like dragging Carla across the rooms, like it was just insane. Yeah. Of course, most of the other dogs in there were insane too, but she was just a special dog.
Charlie, how are you, buddy?
Doing pretty good.
Charlie, what superhero power would frighten you if the dog had it?
Mind control. I mean, they kind of technically already have it anyway with those puppy dog eyes.
But. Yeah. Yeah, but just find yourself constantly giving dog treats. I can't stop.
The two that I have right now are, I don't want to say that they have doggy Alzheimer's, but when I like leave the room and come back, they bark at me like I'm an intruder every single time.
Imagine the mind control in those situations.
Yeah. I have to throw their food on the floor for them to eat it because they won't like trust the bowls they've used their entire flipping lives. Yeah.
The bowl looks sketchy.
Yeah, they are literally scared of it.
It's perfect. Beautiful Brent, how are you, sir?
I'm great.
Good. Brent, what superhero power do you think would be most frightening if a dog had it?
Man, I was sitting here thinking, I think I might be most afraid if dogs could fly.
Just flying dogs everywhere?
Yeah, just flying dogs everywhere.
Matt, how much does your dog weigh?
Mine?
Yeah.
She's probably touching 75 now.
Imagine that dog just flying and just deciding it's going to land on you. Wow.
Well, I don't know why, but I kept picturing like birds
pooping
and like how they just kind of like just fly and poop.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a 75 pound dog turd falling out of the sky?
I mean, from the right height, they could probably kill you.
Could do some damage.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the news?
Local man killed today. Win Rottweiler.
Strange event in PRP. local man.
Come on, that wouldn't be a strange event in PRP. That's just another day.
Yeah, that's all we do out there.
Another sling, day in the ridge.
Just fling turds at each other all day.
You have those kids that will that like to prank people and like set out the food with laxatives in it.
It's true.
That'd get dangerous.
Be real dangerous. All right, let's jump into today's topic, which has nothing to do with poop.
Oh.
I know. Devastating. But I pulled up a list from Ranker titled The Most Impressive Finishing Moves in Action Movies. So this is going to be when there's a fight going on and the hero decides, all right, I'm going to do this, and it's going to end the fight. And it is the finishing move. Okay? So I want you to be thinking of what movie finishing moves you think are the best. Charlie, one you already named, is on this list, okay? So this is not a 10-to-1 best to worst. It is just a random list. So, John, the first one on the list is going to get your ears perked. It is it is the atomic breath from Godzilla.
Oh, now, any version of that is cool, but the version that I like the most is in the Cranston movie, as we keep calling it, is the version where you don't see it to almost the very end, and he grabs the whatever those things are called. I can't remember what they're called now, but he pulls
chopsticks.
No, they're not chopsticks.
Jowls.
Whatever they are. Pulls his mouth open, and it just starts up, and it's like boom, 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 boom. And I told Carl, "So here it comes."
Like he's trying to make out with
boom. And I was just like, "Yee!" And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And it was just like, "Yeah, there."
He just atomic breath.
It's
French atomic kissed breath. Him.
It is. It's just whoa, 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 whoa. That's the only noise I can make on it. Whoa, 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 whoa.
That's pretty close to it.
And it was just like, yeah.
I think I stopped
baby.
Watching the movie before that happened.
Oh, no. It's the best part.
I left off when like Six and the other person broke into the secret base and saw like the metal.
No, that's the last one. That's King Kong. I'm talking about the first, the Brian, the Cranston.
Oh, you're talking about the Brian. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not talking about
yeah,
the.
Yeah, you're talking
last
about
one.
The Muto or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay. All right.
Now I'm going to have to sit and watch that this weekend.
The next one, I'm going to read the description because we may not all know this because it's an older movie. It's from Commando. John Matrix is a retired U.S. Special Forces
Bennett,
colonel.
Let off some steam.
Gets back into the game after discovering his entire former unit's been slain. It then becomes more personal after the attackers come to Matrix's home, kidnap his daughter, and he realizes one of the members of the team is a man named Bennett, who used to be in his own unit. Eventually, with the help of a woman named Cindy, Matrix tracks down Bennett, terminates everyone in the employ but Bennett himself. They didn't try to fight, blah, blah, blah. The fight is brutal, and the sadistic Bennett clearly loves putting John through the ringer, but just as Bennett grabs a gun and prepares to end the brawl, John rips a pipe off the wall and hurls it at Bennett, impaling him through the chest. And what does he say, Charlie?
Bennett, let off some steam.
Yeah, there you go. Charlie, this is classic Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I think that Commando is the unsung hero of the Schwarzenegger catalog. People, you know, of course, love Terminator and Terminator 2, but Predator. Commando just has so many horribly cheesy lines, and the acting is awful, and Bennett is obviously madly in love with John Matrix. This is not a fight over money. This is a fight over love that could never be imagined in the world of the 80s. He's wearing like a chainmail mesh shirt under a vest. Yeah. I mean, it is.
That's good.
It's one of the guys from, and it's one of the villains from one of the Mad Max films.
He's not even that scary looking of a bad guy.
He looks just deranged, like he's going to ask you for change at the gas station. If you tell him no, he's going to spit in your face. That's what the villain of this movie looks like. It's just, but yeah. Radon Chong, who is Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong's daughter, is the love interest
Cindy?
In this film. Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that.
Remember when I told you I'd kill you last?
I lied.
Yes.
My favorite Arnold line is not from that movie. It's from Predator when he throws the knife into the guy and he goes, "Stick around."
I thought you were going to say kill out him. Terminator 2.
Yeah. Gonna have to mark that one, John.
No, we're not.
Oh my gosh.
John almost died.
What time? Nah, it was like 8:36. I was just taking a drink, man. You're just like, I had to say that. I'm gonna have to bleep that.
All right.
You can say chill on the podcast. We say it all the time.
The throat rip in Roadhouse. James Dalton, a professional bouncer from New York City who's hired by an old friend to come and help a run a recently purchased club in Missouri. For various reasons, Dalton, they get into a massive brawl, and he proceeds to not just kill the man with his bare hands, but rip his throat out.
Well, the whole film, it's a lead up to him ripping a throat out, because apparently, what's interesting about Roadhouse is apparently there's some sort of like bouncer's weekly magazine, because everybody in the town at this dive bar knows that he has ripped somebody's throat out. He's not even from there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they make it feel like bouncers are like professional football players.
Yeah.
Like almost like they should have trading cards.
And let's not forget that Terry Funk is in it as well.
That's true. Still the most...
We're talking about Roadhouse here, yeah. Right? Okay. That movie has come up several times in, of all movies, in one of my history classes.
It's an amazing movie.
Probably not for the reasons that Charlie and I are discussing.
No, they're not. But they think...
I have a scene that I want to discuss in a second, but go ahead.
They're in love with the woman in it, the blonde. And I'm like, come on, there are far better looking actresses in the 80s than her. But they love
it's
her.
The hair, though.
Yeah, they love her. They absolutely enthralled.
Mike Nelson from Mystery mm-hmm. Science Theater had a book called Mike Nelson's Movie Mega Cheese, and he makes a statement that I'll never forget. Roadhouse is the greatest American film ever made because you can't make a movie that bad without trying.
It's hurtful. The scene, there's a ton of scenes, but by the way, the doctor's name is Kelly Lynch. In that movie where he's at the hospital and he's getting stitches and he's going commando and proceeds to rip his jeans up and on in such a quick fashion that I'm just like, there's no way. Like, if I did that, I'd be in the hospital for like an additional injury.
Is that the one where he's getting the stitches and he doesn't budge when she's
putting them in?
There's no way. I've had stitches like in my face.
It wasn't stitches. It was staples.
Yeah,
staples.
It was like an industrial stapler gun too.
We don't have the regular tool, so here's one.
He's like, take it. Where's my pants?
Just zips them right up, man. Ben Stiller did that and nearly died. Anyways.
Me and Susie watched Zoolander.
I was talking about Zoolander, but Zoolander's amazing.
We had her watch it. First time she'd ever seen it. She was just she's in love with it. She's just like, amazing movie.
How are they going to fit kids in this building?
Derek, you idiot.
She thought the gas fight at the beginning was one of the best.
Oh, it's so good.
Lift me up.
You Googleizer. Yes. Anyways, the next one. I don't agree with this one. I think there's better finishing fights between two people. But the library book scene in John Wick Chapter 3.
That is pretty good.
He's fighting the basketball player and proceeds to kill him with a book. Brent, you've seen this, right?
It's been a little bit.
He basically crushes his Adam's apple with it and with several the book.
Yeah, with the book.
I personally don't love it, but Charlie, you think it's a good scene.
It's a good one.
I spend too much time figuring out if that was that giant NBA basketball player. Or not.
It is, whatever. Like, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of commercials. But
Giant Gonzalez.
No, that's the WCW wrestler.
God rest his soul.
Well, I mean, what took away from it was I was like, is that guy that's in the NBA or was
in
the NBA?
State Farm commercials.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, and about the time it was like over, I was like, eh. Yeah, there's better fights than that, I think.
Yeah. The next one is the infamous kick in the movie 300, where he goes, "This is Sparta," and kicks the guy into the pit.
Yeah, the guy from Persia. Yeah.
I was reading that movie scene was already filmed, and he literally just is supposed to go, like, "This is Sparta," and kicks the guy. It's not like this guttural yell, and he goes, "You know what, I want to do it one more time." And he did it, and everybody on set laughed and thought it was ridiculous. And Snyder, that like directed it, is like, "Oh, I love it. We're keeping it." So picture he's doing that scene, but everybody on set is giggling at him. that's how it actually went down.
What a dweeb.
What a dweeb. Zack Snyder, I love it. Let's do it. I also made a terrible suicide. Or what did he make? Batman versus Superman. He didn't make Suicide Squad, did he?
No.
No, that was don't know who directed the first one.
Probably Clint Eastwood. Anyways, the Higher Ground slice in Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Obi-Wan's finest moment, John?
Up until, I know this is going to be a hot take for most people, but up until you see him absolutely destroy Invader in
the series.
The series, yeah. I have the high ground. And it was just, yeah, that was, unfortunately, they wasted that on in Kenobi, because I think Darth Vader should have said it back to him when he had the, when he was in the pit.
Yeah,
that would have been cool, but they didn't do it. They wasted that. But yeah, that's a good I mean, that sets everything up. I mean, that is the scene. I mean, that is, it is. I like it. It's done well. I mean, it's
the best of the prequels.
But you look at that scene and you're like, okay, I wonder how much better it could have been if they'd had a real director actually directing it instead of George Lucas out there doing it himself. Yeah, good scene though. I like
Bryn
it.
Bryn is just like, I haven't seen that.
And that was one of my picks for the end.
So. Yeah, nice. I feel like I have a duty now.
To watch these movies?
To watch these. All of them.
All the Star Wars movies? Yeah. Hey, let's
don't,
do it.
Don't.
Let's do it. Don't listen to Josh.
You don't need to watch.
Josh's like, don't go down that road.
You don't need to see the last three.
Yeah, they're.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Just watch
Rogue One, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. It's all you need. It's all you need.
I don't know. I think the prequels are all right.
The prequels are okay.
John, you have verbally
he's softened
butt punched those films for 10 years now.
Yeah, I know.
And you.
No, I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying I think that they're all right when you compare them to the sequels.
Do you want to make your identity Star Wars?
What is wrong with you,
sir? There you go. Those the four films I mentioned are good movies, but you don't need to be like us. Don't follow our example.
My sir, 16, be better than us.
Yeah, we have learned these mistakes so that you don't have to. I'm not saying we're like.
What are you
like
talking about? Look at my.
Exactly. Is that what you want for your life, Brent? Is that what you want? One of these days, Tim's going to go over there and there's going to be like one Lego in Prince Clue. I learned it from you, all right. I learned it by watching you.
It's good.
I haven't ever been accused of butt-punching much of anything.
Well, that's the phrase I'm going to use because you already have to bleep me once today.
Yeah, that's going to have to bleep that once. No, well, no, I own that. I'll definitely own that. I have not been exactly the most...
I'm going to need you not to say butt-punching. All right, this next one is the 5-point palm exploding heart technique in Kill Bill Volume 2. Honestly, by this point in the movie, I was pretty checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care. I was like, oh, yeah, she did the thing. If you really want to go back to the best, in my opinion, fight scene in Kill Bill, it's either when she takes out all the crazy 88s, mm-hmm, or when she's fighting, is it Vivica Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the two best fights in there, and those have plenty of great finishing moves.
The best ending scene in a Tarantino film is Django.
Yeah.
When he blows up Candyland.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, this next one is the Rocket Man scene in The Rock with Sean Connery, Nicolas Cage, when they literally shoot a guy out the window with a rocket. Honestly, I feel like you could take any Michael Bay, any Jerry Bruckheim film from the 90s, early 2000s, and just put all of the deaths in a hat and draw them out, and they're basically the same thing. Some unbelievable explosion that killed somebody.
Losers always cry about the best.
Can't finish that line, sir. Cannot finish that line. Charlie, I'm going to go back to you because this is a great one for me. It is Scott Pilgrim punt kicking Gideon's head in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Uh-oh. Tim, I'm sorry. Man. I can't handle the movie anymore. I like the soundtrack, but the film itself is just...
Hasn't aged well?
Well, I mean, the hero of the film is a pedophile. I mean, come on. He's 20, dating a 15-year-old.
Okay. It's
it's
been that kind of night for me and Charlie.
Am I wrong, Tim?
I mean, when you put it in that light.
Can you get the unicorn pumpkin? He would like to respond.
John's going to edit me out of the entire episode.
I have a retort. You're kind of right. Sorry. All right. Well, I guess we're just going to move on to the next one here. Charlie.
But I love the soundtrack. Soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah. I'm Your Garbage Truck. Truck, yeah. Truck.
Threshold is my favorite on there. Yeah. It's a good song when you're on the stair climber at the gym and you literally want to jump off, but it's such a short song. You say, finish with this song, I'll be all right.
Jump off and impel yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go Steven Seagal at this point. We're going to go Under Siege. And we're going to go where Steven Seagal sticks a knife into Tommy Lee Jones' top of his head.
Mm-hmm. That is always a good final scene in a film when a guy gets a knife stuck through the top of his head.
No. How plausible do you think that is?
We could find out.
We could. I'm not asking.
How plausible is a knife being stuck in the head?
The top of your head.
Through the head.
Well...
Yeah, I mean, you would probably know.
Yeah, let's tell you this from
experience.
Don't tell us the actual experience.
That's no, I won't tell you the actual experience. I'll just tell you yay or nay, and it is definitely a yay. Okay. It is. Right. It definitely can happen.
Okay. Well, there you go. Because I've always heard like the top of your skull is like the hardest part there.
Now,
I guess a knife that sharp is
enough force, man. You gotta put enough force.
It depends on the type of blade, too. Mm. Like if you used a butter knife, it'd take a little bit.
That's gonna keep slipping.
I'm gonna have to use a hammer behind it on that one.
Oh, man, it's making it in.
Sit still.
It's making me
Swiss Army knife definitely would have a hard time with that, especially like the keychain one.
John, this episode is woo.
The episode is about people getting killed in films.
That's true.
That's what we're referring to. I work in the film industry.
He was in a commercial.
He was in a commercial.
He is an international Super Bowl.
We were hoping it would air during the Super Bowl, but it didn't.
I was like, oh my goodness, is it actually gonna air during the Super Bowl? But it didn't. Now I'm sad.
Sitting watching it, we'd be like, hey.
Charlie, you're going to have to help me with this. It's a kickboxer reference. It's the final kick in Kickboxer. Do you remember the scene? Can you set it for us?
I get Kickboxer and Bloodsport confused quite a bit.
Okay.
Let me see the picture.
It's right here.
That's Tong Po.
It's this guy's foot.
Yeah, it's the scene where he's on... Pretty much every Van Damme film, he gets some sort of powder thrown in his eyes.
Yeah, he can't see.
And he's doing the whole, he's standing on his left leg with his right leg in the air, and he kicks him like four times. Mm. Same leg.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like that. Okay.
And technically breaks his neck, but in the second Kickboxer film that he's not in, Tong Po is now like an international human trafficker.
So he didn't
break his neck.
Didn't break his neck.
But when he got
it's a real bad spring.
Yeah. it's just a flesh wound.
Okay. All right. This next one, it calls itself a finishing move, but nobody died. It's the crane kick in Karate Kid.
That was a good finishing move, though.
It was.
For the 80s.
It was, yeah. Which, if you watch the sometimes good, most of the time terrible sequel TV show... whatever it's called.
Cobra Kai. Do you not like it because it's gone woke?
No. No, I just don't like it because it repeats the same plot.
It's the same story every single season.
Yeah. But no, it's the fact that I do like that Johnny Lawrence basically tells him that the crane kick was illegal and he should have never won because you can't kick people in the face in the tournament. So that's good. Let's see. It has one more. I can't remember this scene. Because it's literally every scene in Fast and Furious, but it's the elevated Superman punch in Fast and Furious 6. But honestly, every final scene...
It's when they're on the plane.
It's when they're on the plane. The plane that never ends.
Yeah, it's when they're on the 45-mile runway.
Yeah, the 45-mile runway. That John did not get to that one when he was watching. He already checked out. But John, to set it up, the bad guys have kidnapped somebody or something, and they're in a giant cargo plane that's flying away, and they race their cars up to get onto the plane and keep it from flying away. And in the process, they fight on the plane for 30 minutes as it's on the runway still. So the joke is that they literally were on a 50-mile runway. But yes, in that scene, I think something happens that actually projects him forward, like somebody puts on the brakes of the plane or something.
Don't they hook chains to the plane?
They do. They try to weigh them down with their cars. That's how Gal Gadot dies.
And it's like, hey, it's a plane that literally has cars inside of it that it's flying.
Yeah, but they were hanging on the wings.
Oh.
But that's how Gal Gadot dies in that movie, John, and in the series. And out of all the people that die in the Fast and Furious movies, she's the only one that hasn't come back.
Well, you know.
Well, the franchise isn't over. John, I'm going to tell you the thing that they're too afraid to tell you. The best of the Fast and Furious movies is Tokyo Drift.
I agree.
I don't want to see any of them.
I agree. I love Tokyo Drift.
It's the best one. It's the only one I've watched.
It is.
It's the best one. It's the only one I've seen. It has to be the best one.
I tell you what. There is one great thing about the Fast and Furious franchise. If you ever find yourself in a room, let's just say in a psych hospital with 20 angry detoxing people, you throw on a Fast and the Furious movie, everybody's happy.
No, I watched the first two because Brian gave me the entire series to watch.
I can't believe you didn't watch more of them.
And I just quit. I was just like, me and Carla were like, we can't do this. This is just so bad. So ridiculous. Of course, this is somebody who watches all the Marvel movies too. So, you know, but anyway, just not my thing.
There are so many ludicrous scenes, not ludicrous, ludicrous, but like the ludicrous scenes. It's just crazy. Like literally in the last movie, I could spend 30 minutes talking about all the ludicrous things that happened in the first 5 minutes of the film. They literally race cars in a minefield, and only the bad guys blow up.
Of course, so.
Only the bad guys.
Of course,
yeah. And then a car flies. That's all in the first 5 minutes, John. It's just like,
see, I can make
it. Just like, here's what we're giving you. This is where we're going to take you in this film. Either you decide right now and strap yourself in, go a quarter mile at a time with us because we're going to do it, or check out because this is where we're going. And it has John Cena,
who is
The Rock's brother. Not The Rock's brother, but Dom's brother.
I checked out.
And sadly, his name's Jacob. It's not like Tom. It's not Dom and Tom Toretto. Which would have been fantastic.
It was Bob and Dom. They had a radio program.
They had a radio program.
You know who has good radio programs? Family.
Nah, I'm next. I can't do it.
I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm checking if there's a couple. They mentioned Iron Man in Avengers Endgame. I didn't really feel like that was a finishing move as much as it was like, I got the stones.
Literally finished it.
I know, but
it
you know what I mean.
Could not be more of a finishing
But it wasn't move. like a hard punch.
It literally destroyed an entire villain and his entire army.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have to call it a punch. It's just the finishing move on something. That's why I was kind of taking it. But yeah, oh yeah, man, that's the best. I mean, that's great.
It's good. It's. I mean,
sadly, that was the last great Marvel movie. I mean, it just is. I mean, just there's nothing. They haven't made anything since then. It's almost worth watching.
It's been a struggle. It has been a struggle. But Any finishing moves?
You didn't watch Werewolf by Night?
Well, yeah, but that's not really.
He means like cinema movies.
Just cinematic movies.
Semantics, John.
Well, no, Werewolf by
Parameters.
Night. Werewolf by Night was excellent. That was absolutely great. But
so, what movies am I forgetting, guys? That has amazing finishing moves at the end of them.
Can we not forget? We've forgotten our roots, guys. Dirty Harry. Do you feel lucky, punk? That's a finishing move.
That's good.
Any of the Rocky films?
Anytime that he punches somebody out in the ring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fight with him and Tommy Gunn in the alleyway?
Oh,
in Rocky V.
Such a good fight. And so improbable.
The whole film.
They would be dead in the street.
Rambo, the third Rambo, or sorry, the fourth Rambo film, where he saves the Christians. When he turns the guy cuts the guy in half with the knife he had made.
Yeah.
That's a great finish.
I just finished the last Rambo with where it's
Last Blood, yeah.
The granddaughter and everything.
Niece.
I don't know how I felt about it.
It wasn't a Rambo film, but it was good.
I think it was just the fact that his niece died and he didn't get to save her. Kind of took a little bit of the.
Also, the fact that it's like. The cartel system, really, John? Really? Okay.
Okay.
Well, after 9/11, he actually wrote a script where Rambo went back to Afghanistan and killed them all. Because theoretically,
I would have watched it.
Theoretically, Rambo created the Taliban.
Really?
Because that's what Rambo 3 is. He teaches the Afghanis how to use guerrilla warfare against the Russians.
Rambo 3 is good. It's a good movie.
I don't know if I've seen Rambo 3. I've seen 1 and 2.
2's great when when he blows the guy up with the arrow and the guy's shoes are still sitting on the rock. That's an amazing scene.
Rambo 4 where he saves the Christians, I tell you what.
Gotta watch it.
I've seen that one.
I gotta watch it then.
You know, a good finishing move was from Mars Attacks.
Yeah.
When they play the classical music. Yeah. All the aliens
country western music.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Slim Pickens?
Slim Whitman. Slim Pickens was the guy that rode the bomb in Dr. Strange.
That's a great finishing move, too. It's a good finishing move.
Yeah, that's good. I feel like there's some classics that we're missing. Oh, Indiana Jones, when the guy's doing all the sword stuff and he just like pulls the gun out and shoots him. That's a classic, I think, and a great one.
Indiana Jones, where they use the crystal skull to defeat the Russians.
Yes. Where what's his name? Spike or whatever his name was swinging through the trees with the monkeys.
What's his name, John? What's the actor's name?
Shia LaBeouf.
He got it right.
I did get it right. There you go.
I've
been working on it.
Steve Buff. Stan Lebowski.
Stan Lebowski.
Usually comes out worse than that.
Yeah, it's good. I'll take it.
You know, Shabuff.
See, if I had to do it again right now, I probably wouldn't get it right.
Oh, yeah.
Shalabloof.
It's like my dad always called Scottie Pippen Scottie Pipkin. And I'm like, Dad, it's Pippen. Anyways.
Where's he from?
Scottie Pippen?
No.
He played at Central Arkansas, I think.
Not Scottie Pippen.
He's probably from like Montana or something.
Isn't Scottie Pippen?
Well, now that we're talking about Scottie Pippen, nobody's talked about Scottie Pippen in 10 years, and we're the first ones.
Shia was born in Los Angeles. Okay,
Well, that's fine.
All right, so
you said Shia LaBeouf is,
but Scottie Pippen. If you're wondering where he was born,
we're totally down for this. We can't wait.
Arkansas.
Where in Arkansas?
Hamburg.
What about Vladi Divac?
Now, is that north of Little Rock or is that somewhere
let me
down
see.
Around?
Pine if Block? I led Hamburg to Little Rock. See, what's bad, John, is your students have already checked out, and they're not hearing this good part of the episode.
Yeah, because one of them told me she only listens the first 6 or 7 minutes.
So it's 108 miles from Hamburg to Little Rock, in a northwest direction.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good country, so, good country.
It is, I mean, tons of nothing to see in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anywho, if you enjoyed this podcast...
you should speak... professional help.
You should seek professional help, and you might be able to seek us in person if John ever agrees to it. But anyways, if you like this podcast, check us out. We're hoping to come back to
YouTube.
Where
would we do a live show at, Tim? The Dixie Bowl?
We got invited.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We got invited to something that I think...
We should do it.
It's like a J-Town art show or something.
That's the perfect place.
I'll give you the...
John said he won't do it.
Wow, John.
Just don't have no desire. No, I don't desire it.
Because
we won't make you say Shia LaBeouf.
He's scared that we'll actually be good.
Yeah, I'm terrified that we're actually good at this.
Anyways, if you like us, check us out on Facebook. Give us a like. Tell your friends. Wherever you listen to a podcast, give us a good rating. Leave us 5 stars. Tell us just how beautiful Brent is. And we're so excited to have brought you another episode. Until next time, I'm not sorry, Brent. Welcome to the show.
Five, any last words? 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.